Welcome back to Money in America with Randall Turner. Today, my special guest is Kathleen Hartnett White. She's been with us before, and I'd love to have her input. She's now the senior fellow in residence and director of the Armstrong Center for Energy and the Environment. She joined the Texas Public Policy Foundation in January of 2008, but what I really want you to understand is that Kathleen served a six-year term as chairman and commissioner of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. Those of us up here in the Northeast may not know what that means, but it's the regulatory agency with jurisdiction over air quality, water rights, utilities, storage, and disposal of waste, has a staff of 3,000, annual budget of $600 million, 16 regional offices, and makes it the second largest environmental regulatory agency in the world after the EPA. And that's why I wanted Kathleen back, because the Wall Street Journal had an article saying that the EPA basically has launched a war on Texas. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning to you.
And can you give me a brief synopsis of what's going on with the EPA's war on Texas?
Well, I will, and I might start by just to set the context. And this really is a relationship all states have with EPA that is set out in federal law. And we'll just take one example of half a dozen major federal environmental laws, the Federal Clean Air Act. It, you know, they all were enacted in the early 70s, and they set out, and in subsequent amendments, it has been restated a relationship between the federal government through EPA and the state authority through whatever the state agency existed in that state. And it really was to be, it was described as cooperative federalism. It was to be a cooperative relationship where, and this overly simplifies, but where the federal agency sets the standards and the rules of the game, the rules of implementing the standard, but the states figure out how to implement the standard with some discretion on what might work better in Texas than Vermont and things like that. And so, and then my six-year experience of this relationship between EPA and Texas really was cooperation and partnership with plenty of friction. They hold federal law, which constitutionally always preempts state law.
Okay.
But it really was largely a cooperative relationship and with chapters where we really acted together. And sometimes we'd go with the EPA office, regional office here, and we'd go to Washington and try to convince EPA of something that we thought might work, if we did it in a different way, might be more environmentally effective in Texas. And so that was the experience I had. This EPA, and it took me a long while to conclude this, particularly in Texas, but also with rules that affect the rest of the country, has been remarkably aggressive in a way that I never experienced. And in this way, that might seem ho-hum, but not when you're really in the middle of it. You know, every federal law that gives an agency all kinds of authority, it simultaneously limits it. That's kind of the way we work in this country. Authority is not open-ended, not clean the air in any way you want, whenever you want, but make the air safe for human health with all this authority, but set up all those enabling laws have restraints on federal action. So the federal government just doesn't say, you know what, we feel like might be a good idea to do immediately. Our government can't operate that way. It kind of does in Venezuela, Iran, and other places like that. But
right.
We have restraints. Not only what EPA has done and what is a war on Texas, but how they have done it is really quite astounding to us.
So what exactly? What exactly are they doing right now? They're withholding. Explain that. They're taking away the right for Texas to issue air permits. Is that it?
Well, they're doing two things kind of simultaneously. They began over a year ago invalidating sort of basic rules in our air quality program because of what we think are hair splicing issues. And those are all unresolved. We had a basic permitting mechanism called flexible permits, which we used for 16 years with great environmental success as far as a huge reduction of some major emissions. So they're doing all that, but in what EPA has done over the last year to assert its self-claimed authority to regulate greenhouse gases, EPA's taken more rapidly than I'm just it's almost eye-blurring, about four different rules that took them to an effective date of January 2nd, behind us, January 2nd, that makes their regulatory authority on greenhouse gas take legal effect. Texas, along with about 16 other states, is legally challenging a number of these four rules, and we declined to accept what we would call a kind of coercion that EPA said to all states, you must have in effect the regulatory mechanisms in your state on last January 2nd. Texas said, we cannot do that. One, the Federal Clean Air Act gives states 2 to 3 years to adopt major new requirements like a new pollutant, greenhouse gases. We're not going to do it in a short month. In fact, the Texas Constitution prohibits it from. Texas is one of half a dozen states that has actually provisions in its constitution that says that we must abide by federal law, but we will do so in an orderly way. We will adopt new federal requirements into our state law and rules so that the state legislature looks at it and affirms it, and so that the state agency, when they adopt a rule, gives notice to all Texans that a new part of federal authority is coming to Texas. And so we said, we can't do that. EPA said that the law forced us to, a standoff, if you will, and Texas ended up being the only state that said, on January 2nd, we will not begin regulating greenhouse gases. Although, as I said, like at least 15 other states join us with Texas in the courts to legally challenge these rules, the rest of the states that did so said, we don't think it's EPA's authority is lawful, but they say it's in effect, and we must abide by that their rules until the courts resolve this in the years ahead. Texas said no. We would be breaking violating our state constitution, and we would be violating our own air quality laws. EPA said that was unacceptable, and that they would issue what's probably the most aggressive action under the Federal Clean Air Act, a federal implementation plan. Always wordy technical jargon, but what that means is it's a revocation of the state's authority to issue a basic air quality permit that affects in any state would be the same one for major sources of emissions.
Okay, give me an example. What does that mean for a refinery? What does this really mean at the end of the day for a new refinery?
It's a little unclear. I mean, because again, EPA and Texas disagree on what it means. It means one of two things. It means that it means that EPA would be the direct regulator in the state for any permit which came under their jurisdiction on greenhouse gases. But the state would issue another permit that covered all the other pollutants. That's what the state EPA apparently concludes that the revocation, because of the greenhouse gas issue, extends to the whole permit. So Texas is no longer issuing permits to the thousands of sources in our state that need them, and EPA is. So it is if it just revokes that permitting authority. So it's unclear what that means. That these, we call them FIPs, again, acronyms, Federal Implementation Plans,
okay.
Have rarely been issued under the 40 years of the Clean Air Act, and never like this, because again, EPA made it instantaneously effective,
which is against its own laws, apparently.
Yes, it's against it's when it has attempted to issue a FIP, and again, there's you don't need all the fingers on your hands. It's a proposal like a rule. It gives the state notice. Look, better respond, because if you don't, we do have this authority to revoke your own state authority in air quality permits. And this, they in legal terminology, they issued it as an interim final rule, an immediate effective date. And I find that very troubling. If our federal government, when it's using really, it's some very fisted authority to revoke what have been since we had these laws, just a fundamental state authority instantaneously. That's, to me, a really kind of frightful authority that the government might have.
So this is becoming
a punishment. That's, to me, a punishment of Texas.
Why is it a punishment? Is this a political action, really, at the end of the day?
I really think there's a difference between politics and power and authority. This is, Texas is the only state which said, because we conclude you, EPA, are breaking federal law, and because to abide by what you are dictating, we would be violating our state constitution, we cannot comply with what you say. And we're the only state that said that. The others have said, we think what you're doing is illegal, but we've got the authority, so we'll step in line and hope that the courts will peel it back later.
What power do they have to affect this action? Do they withhold funds or anything?
We all wonder this because it's never occurred. We've all wondered this. I can't imagine, that there would be police power enforcement of something like this. These finally have to do with administrative authorities about paper permits. But so at this point, we're not even a month into the new authority on greenhouse gases, and so it's really hard to say how this will turn out. The state sought a emergency injunction against the effectiveness of this. The federal district court initially granted it to Texas, and then it said it was temporarily granting it until it had time to consider all the legal issues, and it ultimately did not issue the injunction. Many of the newspapers are saying, see, Texas lost, but all these things. And this is one of about, maybe now approaching 20 legal challenges from Texas against EPA on other things that will, I hope, not slumber through the courts, but people predict 2 to 3 years for the courts to review all this. And Texas is not alone in all those lawsuits. We are alone in saying we will not comply.
There's so many things I could say about the EPA lately. They just seem to overstep their bounds. But I'm curious. I remember reading last summer sometime that the EPA revoked the air permits for refineries in Texas.
Well, and again, not quite. That would be a slight overstatement. They said that under this authorization Texas has used and EPA has approved for 16 years, they said those were no longer legally valid under federal law. They didn't actually revoke them. But so now, again, that's in the courts. And the state even changed the rule in question to comply with EPA. EPA says they're still not satisfied. So, but states, we figured out a way to keep, the doors open with kind of interim authorizations. Very inefficient. One of the big impacts on this is not people with existing permits as far as, door-shutting kind of potential, but Texas now has the largest industrial sector in the country. That was a role once played by Michigan and Ohio and Indiana.
Right.
But over the last 10 years, that's really one of the main reasons the Texas economy has been so job-creating and prosperous compared to other parts of it. So there's thousands of entities that need these air quality authorizations. And you have to have them if you have any significant change in your operation or a slight expansion, and certainly if you're a new source. And we still have kind of remarkable growth down here, so there's lots of new sources. The state agency estimated that in the next year that probably 167 permits for modifications or a new facility would be at issue. Those are what are hanging. What will this be? What will it mean to have EPA issue one part of a greenhouse gas permit and the state to do another, and will they ever agree? And does the state do it now, or does EPA? A lot of these things, that kind of, and there's been lots of commentary at the national level for what the regulatory uncertainty right now, and it's right. not just for environmental permits, but in the financial community, healthcare, and a variety of others. There's in the first 2 years of the Obama administration, such action, so many new rules, some of which are adopted, some of which are not quite adopted. We don't know how they're going to turn out, and this really really chills the kind of risk-taking investment that expansion of businesses or new businesses involve.
Oh, of course.
So that's the real impact right now of what uncertainty means.
Well, of course. Who would want to risk investing millions upon millions of dollars without knowing if you've got a return on investment because you can't get the permits to operate?
Exactly. Yeah. Or what the terms of them will be.
Right, right. It's just irrational to expect business people to invest in an environment like that.
But, and this, you know, particularly, you know, what people would call heavy major industry that also is really a catalyst for all kinds of small business creation. So, because if you take a refinery, of which we have 27 in Texas, that one refinery, there's the range of service businesses and products that constantly are swirling around a large major refinery is huge. All kinds of what people would call small businesses. That may have 200 employees or they may have 5 employees. But so the ripple effect is not just the employees and the profitability of that one industry, but everything that surrounds it.
Well, Kathleen, how do you see this being resolved?
I think two things. One, I think that there are some of these issues which will not survive judicial scrutiny of the EPA, both on a procedural level, acting outside of these kind of basic restraints on timing, how much time you allow a state or an entity, and giving notice. They sound ho-hum, but they're fundamental. And I think that there's a chance that the courts may do some pushback, as well as on the Green Gas Authority itself. EPA did some things that have never been done, like the EPA in a rule they call the tailoring rule said, okay, we've decided we can use the Clean Air Act, existing law, don't need a new one, to regulate carbon dioxide. If we regulate in according to the express triggers of federal law, like how many emissions you have of greenhouse gases you have to have, it would be absurd because we'd go from a permitting universe of, and these figures are almost correct, they're not going to be exact, a permitting universe of like 12,000 permits to 9 million because carbon dioxide is so much more pervasive than conventional pollutants like sulfur dioxide. And so they just said, we're changing, we're going to not regulate unless it's like 75,000 tons of carbon dioxide instead of 150 tons. That's, I think that might be hard for the courts who in the past have given EPA lots of technical discretion because the law has given that to EPA. But I think it's kind of hard for EPA to rewrite express mandatory emission triggers,
right.
Which they've done. And they call them deregulatory. I find that amusing because they're actually reducing the scope of regulation. But while one can see the prudence in that, if it's an inevitable thing, it's just pretty scary when agencies actually rewrite thou shalt regulate at 100 tons and say, no, we're going to do it. We shall regulate at 150 tons. So I think those things are subject to scrutiny. It's possible that it's hard to predict Congress. They're
yes.
always so riled up before they get in session, and then they sober up when they are actually considering things. But I think it's possible that many of the leadership now in the new committees in the House have claimed they will check EPA, and they will use freezes on funding if necessary, but that's so very hard to predict. But if this country really has job creation as its number one priority, people should realize EPA, not what Congress has done or is doing, but EPA, and these rules we talked about today, that the volume, there's like 30 to 40 pending, proposed, or recently adopted rules that will have major impact on all kinds of industry, not merely in Texas, but across. And, you know, regulation is kind of a hidden influence on the economy and on cost and on jobs.
Exactly.
But the scale and scope of EPA's current plans is, I think, fundamentally in conflict with an urgent need to create jobs.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kathleen Hartnett-White of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, and this is Money in America with Randall Turner.